Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Tough Enough's Andy Silent Ridge may be suspended for violation. What's going on with this, Aaron?
So there's a word around the internets that Silent Ridge apparently has also been silently doping up. So they think it's something, you know, minor. But it's basically, it's going to be a 30-day suspension, it looks like. And, you know, he's not the only one, Andy. Your boy, referee Mike
Chioda, yes, he was also suspended. Now, that was legitimate. He was suspended. But the thing is, with both these suspensions, usually it's for steroids. They announce it right away. In this case, they did not announce anything that's happened yet. They just said that they were suspended. So I'm just waiting to see what is suspension for. It can't be anything major, so it must be some type of, like, party drug or whatever. But it's just really weird about this situation, because they didn't announce it.
I know. It was kind of weird. I mean, because they announced that Sin Cara was suspended, and...
But they announced that he was suspended for steroids, though.
Yeah.
They didn't just say he was suspended. With Chioda, they just said that he was suspended, but they didn't give a reason why. So I'm assuming that it has to be some recreational drug, I should say, not a party drug.
Yeah,
but it's just very interesting, and also the rumor is that some of the referees are sweating because of this. So it's interesting to find out what's going to happen over the next few weeks with the referees, if you want to say that. So anyway, yeah. So Generation Me, and now they're known as the Young Bucks, they get a dark match before Raw. This is big deal, because I can't believe they left TNA in the first place, and they get a dark match before Raw? What's going on with this?
So Triple H has said that he wants to reinvigorate the tag division within the WWE. In fact, there are rumors that he wants to bring over Beer Money, which is really surprising, since Beer Money, I'd be surprised if they went over, first of all. But back to Gen Me. They had a tryout match. They actually asked for their release in TNA. So for them to have this tryout match, it makes me wonder if the WWE is a little cautious about them. Because we've heard stories from RVD, from Mick Foley, that these guys are actually, they got a little bit of an ego.
It wouldn't surprise me, because most wrestlers do. But I'm wondering, because RVD came out and said that. And I think it was because they never asked him for any help, and most wrestlers have. He just kind of took that as a, you know, that they weren't, what do you want to call it, like, they weren't looking up to him or something like that. That's how I took it.
Which, you know, the thing is, there are some wrestlers who, you know, just because you don't ask for help, that's not a big deal. But I've heard that they are actually really disrespectful to other wrestlers, even though they're really a great talent. You know, those two brothers are really good in the ring together. I love watching them wrestle. You know, I mean, it's like watching the Hardy Boys, you know,
right.
It really is. A younger version, of course. So it's unfortunate, but I don't know. I think that this would be good for them to be in the WWE. However, though, I don't think they'll last long. Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? It could be a good thing, because they could get put into place.
That's true. And the thing is, they won't get hired unless they feel that they can respect the business. That's the other thing, too. Because if they're not going to respect the other wrestlers that are there, they don't want to have them there.
Mm-hmm.
So, And speaking of not being in the WWE, Gail Kim, is she still under contract? Because she says she's not, but the WWE says she is. So
yeah.
What's going on with this?
So, I don't know. Which side do you believe? Do you believe her side, or do you believe the WWE?
I don't know who to believe right now, because she's not on TV. And what she did at the Women's Rumble, which I thought was really weird, she just didn't really do much, falls down, rolls out of the ring, walks to the back.
So she's still in that match, is what you're telling me.
Well, yeah, because she didn't go over the top rope.
And the new number one contender is Gail Kim.
I mean, Maven has the number one time right now for Royal Rumble.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's under 7 years now, I think.
Yeah, he's still in the Rumble. It's unbelievable. But what is completely unbelievable is what Melina wants for her fees. She wants at least $3,000. It has to be a first-class hotel and a first-class flight. What the heck? Is she... How should I put this in a nice way? I can't. Is she that much of a, you know, a draw? If you want to say that.
I don't know if draw is the right word. I think the word that you're looking for is a train wreck. You actually, few letters off, few words off. Train wreck is what you're looking for. I think that she has too big of a head, because the problem is, okay, Mickie James was a wrestler. Trish Stratus was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are, Gail Kim even, you know, I would say is a wrestler. These are people who wrestle, and she is a diva. There's a reason why they don't call it a women's wrestling championship. It's called the Divas Belt now, the Divas mm-hmm. title, because there's no one in the WWE that can wrestle worth crap. Beth Phoenix is okay, and you know, even Jim the Anvil Neidhart's daughter is pretty good too. But other than that, there's no wrestling there. Melina is not a wrestler. Melina, in all honesty, if she asked for $2,000 and that was it, you know, and then like hotel and flight. Mm-hmm. Hotel and flight, not first class.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, but you can't do that. She is not a draw. Not a draw. Mm-hmm. And TNA, I think, would do a good job of snatching her up, in all honesty. But there's no possible way I would ever pay that much for her if I was running TNA.
If I remember correctly, when Shane Helms actually left the WWE when he was terminated, I think he was asking $2,000 up front at first, plus the flight and hotel. I think he's now down to $1,000. But he was also, but the thing is, here's the funny part. He would do these appearances and he would set up so he'd be in the same area, but they'd still pay for basically two flights out there and then two hotels. So what he would do is literally go to that show, get a hotel, go to the next show, then fly back home. And he would basically rake in about $2,600 for basically 2 days' work. So he made, so when you think about it, he made good money. And yeah, so you paid him $1,000 plus his flights and hotels, but everyone made out good. So, I mean, when you look at it from that standpoint, he could basically only work 2 days a week, be gone for 2 days also. You got to point that out. Be gone for 2 days, work 2 days, and you have 5 days where you don't do anything, and you're pulling in, you know, almost $10,000 a month. That's a good for a wrestler that's working independence, and that's what he was doing for a while.
Yeah, that's making $120,000 a year.
Yes.
I think anybody would take that.
Yeah, and
so
the thing
that,
is, that's what she
leans crazy.
Now, she needs to learn that's what's going to happen, because she's not going to get a first flight. I mean, when you know, other wrestlers have done this as well, when they've worked for small promotions, $1,000, and you're talking with their fees, with the hotel and all that stuff, they're forking out $1,800 just for them to come. They may only bring in $5,000 for the show, and that's not including paying the other wrestlers. So she's going to have to learn real fast that she is not going to get that. And if she does, great. You know, great. I know better. So anyway, so Chris Jericho actually has a take on the CM Punk storyline. He actually weighed into this, and this is great that he said something about it. The nice part about it is that people like it because there's a lot of insider stuff for the storyline.
But he doesn't think people like it for that, though. He thinks people like it because it's a good storyline. He said the insider stuff is actually not what people like, because during the Kevin Nash thing that happened this past Monday, which we'll talk about, mm-hmm. And sorry, spoiler alert, but that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, he said that it fell flat. A lot of people were like, huh? I don't get it. Like, what are you talking about? Like 94, 96, Scott Hall? Like, I don't – who are these people? What are these dates they're throwing out?
What's WCW?
They didn't know. Yeah. And so Jericho was saying it's not the insider stuff. It's actually the good storyline. I agree with him to an extent, but here's the thing. The insider stuff makes people who listen to this show happy, because you hear Cena talk about five moves of doom. You're like, oh, my God, I've read about that on the internet. He said that. He said, I moved my hand from my ear to my face. You know, like the Hulk Hogan, you know, he was right. And I didn't even read that online. I was like, holy crap, where did he take that from? Cena, you know, first of all, Cena's done an amazing job during that whole Cena Punk thing. But I do disagree a little bit with Jericho about that. I think it's a combo of the two.
Yeah, it is completely a combo. I mean, there's no way you can put it. It's great that he came out and said something. I'm very happy for that. I think it was like Between the Ropes or something like that, with that podcast, which you shouldn't be listening to anyways, because John Cena listens to the Off the Mark. Yeah, I was glad that someone actually talked about that. I almost wish because the whole thing was seen. Well, I guess we'll get into that later. So let's just move on to SummerSlam. Even though this Jericho thing is great, there's some stuff I want to talk about we can't talk about until we actually get to Raw. So SummerSlam, Daniel Bryan loses cleanly to Wade Barrett. I can't believe this, by the way. I cannot believe they just did this.
I'm actually okay with it.
But what's the point of it? I mean, if Wade Barrett wins, what is it supposed to do?
So here's the thing. If they put them in a program for 3 months, let's say, then Wade beating Daniel Bryan, I'm okay with. The only thing I'm not okay with is if this match was thrown in there for a one and done, and that's it. Then I'm like, this makes no sense. So if this is a 3 month program and then Daniel Bryan ends up going out on top because that's what you want to do because you want to make him bigger, I'm okay with it. One and done, I'm not.
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Are they going to continue a storyline? I was shocked. I mean, there didn't seem to be any plans to continue the storyline. So what happens here? And first of all, it's clean. He should have cheated to win, first of all. But I'm not.
I like the fact, though, that sometimes heels don't do that. I hated the fact that every match Jericho had as a heel, he cheated. Or something happened, because that made Jericho look like a freaking wuss, all right? And you don't want to do that. Jericho is a much better guy than that. But then you have Wade Barrett, you know, who can win cleanly. So yeah.
It's Daniel Bryan, so it's kind of one of those things where they might be able to get away with it. It just depends on what they do on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Christian seeks Edge to help him out, but Edge turns away, which I thought was really interesting. What exactly happened here?
I think that, you know, rewriting this, have Edge come out, you know, maybe say a little bit, and then say, I'll be in your corner, but I will not interfere in the match. Mm-hmm. I will cheer you on because you are my best friend, but you do not look to me to help you out. Do not look to me to help you retain your title. You want to own this like I owned it, then you have to work for it. You know, you do that, and then it looks a little bit better. That's what I would have done. Instead, they did something where Edge basically just called him whiny, and then walked away. And then the weird thing was that Orton won, so now he's an eight-time world champion now for WWE. And so two things here. First of all, why even give Christian the belt? And number two, are you going to throw the title around every 30 days like it's nothing? And, you know, thirdly, Orton is not in the twilight of his career. He is in the beginning or even maybe the middle of his career. He has another eight titles probably ahead of him. Orton is going to be like, he's going to be like Cena. He's going to hold the title 15 times, 20 times. And it's like, why? Why bother doing that? Because they have to lose it that many times too. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair, when he held titles, he held them for hundreds of days. All right?
Yeah.
Not tens.
And sometimes a year or two. So he always had it was basically a big deal when he was a 16-time champion, or I think that's what it ended up being. It was always a big deal, but you have to remember, you know, he started in what, the early 70s, if I'm correct? And then he's still wrestling, so for basically during his prime, basically, he could have the title over 30 years. He had the title. And yes, in those times, he had it 16 times. It's not that he had it eight times in a 9-year span. Which is basically, I think, I'm not sure that exactly if that's Orton's time frame, but it has to be close.
It's close, yeah. You're absolutely right. Because he won it from Benoit, at WrestleMania 20, which was in 2003.
No, oh, geez, so, I guess I'm pretty close. So basically, he's eight time in, yeah, about 9 years. So no matter how, and he's also been the youngest WWE champion.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing too with Flair, though, just to correct people, Flair calls himself the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. Flair's actually held a world championship 21 times.
But it's 16 major ones.
It's 16 WWE, NWA, and WCW.
Right.
But he's actually held a couple other titles that are world titles.
Correct.
Just throw that out there.
So CM Punk beats John Cena with Cena's foot on the rope. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, someone decides to come down because they got tickets from Will Call. And that guy happened to be Diesel, a.k.a. Kevin Nash, who they referred to as Kevin Nash, by the way. Just point that out.
I knew that right away, too. That was something I noticed. Mm-hmm. I just got to throw that out there.
And he came in, powerbombed CM Punk, and Alberto Del Rio comes in. He cashes it, Enziguri, bam. 1, 2, 3. Alberto Del Rio is your new WWE champion. Why?
So the title didn't change hands tonight.
Technically, it did not change. They basically made one title. They took two titles and made it into one. And then Alberto Del Rio cashes it in. And I didn't understand why. Because why is he the champion? I just don't understand. I mean, I know they said they're going to do it eventually. But it just doesn't seem right that he's the champion now. Because the Cena and CM Punk storyline could still be going on. And it's great. That's the thing. It's so good. And now you throw Alberto Del Rio in there and along, of course, Triple H.
And Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
There are two major things here. Number one, the foot on the rope or under the rope. Christian did this two pay-per-views ago. You're recycling stuff that happened within 2 months. That is really bad story writing right there.
Is okay? Cena going to get some lawyers out too and be like, this is what's going to happen now?
Probably. And then he's going to have his best friend come back, who I think is the Big O. I'm not sure who his best friend is.
Big O.
Yeah. But the other thing too is that what WWE should have done is said, okay, we have two champions, but here's what we're going to do. Whoever wins tonight is going to be the lineage. So if Punk wins, Punk will have been the champion since he won it back in Chicago at Money in the Bank. However, though, if Cena wins tonight, then it's going to be the lineage where Punk won the title and then immediately forfeited it, and then Ray won it, and then Cena won it. That way, you're able to say that, okay, look, Punk was actually the champion. Cena is not your 12-time world heavyweight champion. You know, you can get rid of one of those. And then Rey Mysterio now no longer holds the belt, so you have a storyline there that Rey Mysterio wants revenge. Or not revenge, but he wants to prove he can get it back. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. I don't understand why Kevin Nash attacked him, and we're actually going to talk about this here on Raw. So why don't we save a little bit of that, especially with Alberto Del Rio for that. Now, okay. I got to ask you, Andy, on Raw, R-Truth and Morrison are continuing their feud, and apparently this feud is now just a TV feud. So that's only going to happen on TV.
Remember what I said a bunch of episodes back when I was like, this can make John Morrison and R-Truth both superstars, and it really doesn't matter who wins, because you can have R-Truth win, and he is a main eventer. You can have John Morrison lose, and he's a main eventer. Actually, you could have either one win or lose. It doesn't matter. They're both main eventers now if they did on pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, they've built it up perfectly. They could bring John Morrison back a couple times, which they did. It was getting there, and then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, we're just going to put this on TV because we can't figure out what matches to do, and the CM Punk Cena storyline takes precedence over everything else that's going on. That's what happened here, and that's ridiculous. This should be a pay-per-view feud, not a TV feud.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I just really think that they have missed a huge opportunity here. And so I'm very disappointed in WWE for this.
Oh, yeah.
But the other big thing that happened on Raw, next big thing, that Nash comes out and he tells his side of the story, and then Punk interrupts, and they have a nice little war of words there. So what did you think about Nash's explanation? And, you know, subsequently, you know, what Punk had to say afterwards.
Well, everyone knows that Stephanie McMahon's behind the text, so we can just put that out there right now. She's the one who did it. Everyone knows that. At least that's what I'm assuming, because I don't think Alberto Del Rio did. I think it's Kevin. I think that it was Stephanie, the way that things were said on Raw. So there's some things that I think CM Punk held back. I think it would have been funny if he throws out the fact that he's a straight edge wrestler, unlike his tag team partner, who loves that brown bottle. I thought he was going to take it to that degree, but he kept it very clean. There was some stuff behind the scenes that I was laughing about, that, you know, like you and I were laughing about, because like, oh my gosh, he went there. Oh my gosh, he went there. And then I love the fact that you guys should be kissing us because of what we did. We got you those guaranteed contracts. They're not guaranteed contracts.
No, they're not.
That's the thing. There's only, like, I think four guys who have guaranteed contracts. CM Punk isn't one of them. If you get hurt, you still get paid, which is something that I don't think was in place a while ago. But it wasn't Kevin Nash who started that. WCW screwed a lot of things. I mean, when Chris Jericho goes in for one amount of money and he gets almost double that, you got to think something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not what Kevin Nash did. He did some stuff, but he also ruined WCW and also some wrestlers. Goldberg. He ruined Goldberg. So
he shouldn't have got that streak. And, you know, I know that he did a shoot about Goldberg saying that people were chanting Goldberg sucks at a lot of the events, and that we weren't hearing that, you know, but people were chanting that. I don't know anybody that hated Goldberg, first of all. You know, I mean, I never went online and saw anybody that you know, said that. But nonetheless, Kevin Nash defeating Goldberg did not help out business. What would have helped out business
is if he won.
Is having a younger wrestler beat Goldberg. For example, like, let's say Chris Jericho was going to stay in WCW, have Chris Jericho beat him. Because guess what? Jericho then gets to say for the rest of his career, I am the guy who beat Goldberg. You know, have somebody young. Nash was old. You know, he was at the – he and still is at the twilight of his career. You know, he's up there. You need somebody younger who could beat him.
You know, just thinking about that right now, realistically, I can't think of any young wrestler who should have beat him.
I know. I was thinking that too. Like, the only one that came to mind was Jericho. Maybe Benoit. You know, I mean, Benoit
Benoit. Not those guys. Those guys were already made. They didn't need to have the Goldberg, like, I broke Goldberg streak. I mean, Nash only did this so when he writes his memoirs, he could say that he beat Goldberg. But it was bad for business. That's the thing.
You know, the only other person, maybe DDP. But DDP was old, too, though.
Yeah, see,
DDP,
that's the thing.
Was old. You know?
I was thinking DDP, but then I was like, well, he's really old. I was thinking Sid, the same thing with Sid, but he's also old, too.
No.
So you got to think, all right, they would have to have brought someone really young in to take care of it.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. But let's get back on track, though. You know, the mid-card right now over on Raw, Swagger, Alex Riley,
Evan
Dolph
Bourne,
Ziggler, Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston. They're all getting the shaft. Oh, even Miz with his Subway
commercial. That's the thing. The Miz he was the heavyweight. He was the heavyweight champion. The WWE champion.
He's the WWE champion.
He was just the WWE champion, and they're hurting him already. The thing is, this is my thing. Whenever I always said that you should do a big flow chart or a big storyboard on what people were doing. He was a main eventer, and he was still a main eventer, even though people hated him. But he could have had, you know, he right now, and this is what I thought would happen. I thought the Miz versus John Morrison was going to start to happen. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Again.
But the thing is, it's different because they're both main eventers. So they could have done stuff back and forth. They're both from LA. They could have had feuds and had, you know, they could have been seen like on, like TMZ or like the whatever's on E, their show, they could have been seen like, you know, getting into like a fight or whatever. So they could have done a lot of stuff with this because they both live in LA, but they didn't. They kind of missed the ball on this one.
Oh, well, because they're going to get rid of John Morrison. That's
most
why.
Likely. But
they're getting the shaft.
They are.
So what do they do?
They
four way for the US title is what I say, or the IC title, you know. U.S. title.
I mean, they could do that, but the thing is, they need to do something with those guys. I mean, they did the tag team this week with was it Kofi and Evan Bourne? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had it was great, and it was a good match with those guys. But
Well, and that gave the tag titles a little bit of love too, which was nice. You know, I mean, it was nice to see the tag titles actually being defended, you know, for real. I mean, actually, technically, the titles weren't on the line, but still, it was kind of nice to see that. And I wouldn't mind seeing some people form a team. If you don't have anything for Evan Bourne and Alex Riley, put them together. Put Jack Swagger with somebody.
But the thing is also with A-Rai, he should be high mid-card, almost main event for what he did with The Miz. But what he did to The Miz. If they kept pushing him, he could have been there. He could have been almost not the title picture, but he could have been up there, though. And then they didn't do anything with him. They just left him off 1 week because they're like, we don't know what to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was dumb. They could have done something with him, but now he's kind of slowed down. But it's also nice that when he comes out, everyone cheers for him. So Matt, basically, he's gone to the U.S. title division. But it's not confirmed.
Yeah. Oh, well. You know, but let's talk about what happened for the main event. Alberto Del Rio took on Rey Mysterio, and of course, Del Rio retained because if you had him lose the title, oh my God, I would be losing.
Yeah, but
crap.
He didn't have the nameplate on there. That's why I thought he was going to lose.
I saw that too. But so Rey is selling an injury because Rey's actually going to be written off television for a little while, and then Cena is back to it. So is this business as usual now?
Business as usual.
The title picture. Punk is off doing something else.
Yep, he's going to be making The Chaperone Part 2. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on with it. There's no point to it. I seriously think, because all the stuff, if Triple H is involved, it's done pretty well. Anything else has just been crap lately. And that's the problem. You have to separate your personal life from your business life, and apparently they don't know how to do it. I'm glad Shane McMahon got out. That's all I got to say about that. So let's move on to SmackDown. So Alberto Del Rio is on SmackDown for some reason, and he beats Daniel Bryan. And this doesn't make sense to me, besides the fact that Daniel Bryan, people are starting to like, and he got new music, so they had to bury him, even though he is your Money in the Bank winner.
So I don't understand WWE and World Heavyweight Champion, which one's better? I don't understand. One is the champion of the company, apparently, and the other one is the champion of the world.
Yes, correct. The one is the world champion, and one is the WWE champion.
Isn't the world champion better than the WWE champion?
Yes, he is.
So why is the WWE champion on SmackDown? Can you explain that to me?
I have no idea. Unless they're going to do something from now on where if you're a champion, you can wrestle on both shows. Because I think Kelly might have wrestled on SmackDown for some reason.
So Mark Henry is your new number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, Orton has to beat someone. And Mark Henry, I mean, granted, I will say Mark Henry has been putting on some decent matches, and they've put him now to a main event status. And that's where he was going because they got no one else right now.
I'm surprised, though. I thought his thing with Sheamus was going to continue.
Yeah, that is kind of sad that it just stopped.
That was a build-up to the pay-per-view. Henry wins by count-out. That's enough. Let's close the books on it.
Yeah, this could be continuing to going on, unless they're just doing it for now. I mean, unless Sheamus is going to sell some injury, which we know he's not, why do this? Oh, that's right, because we had like three pay-per-views in 5 weeks. That's right. That's why.
You know, the thing here is, too, like that feud is a two-pay-per-view feud, in my opinion.
Yes.
Two pay-per-views, done.
Oh, yeah. Done. That's what it should have been. And then they decided to leave Christian off. Why?
Because people were sick of him.
Your
which
world
is sad.
Heavyweight champion is loses at the pay per view, and then we're just not going to put him on Raw or on SmackDown.
Or sad, but people are sick of him.
Well,
that's what sucks. WWE actually ruined Christian.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised that could happen, but they did. So it can happen. You can actually ruin a made wrestler. So, and if you want to complain about this, just go over to HostGator and get a blog. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, and you're not happy with your web host like we were? We are now officially fully on HostGator.com. You should check them out, HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space and bandwidth and one-click script installs. They have an awesome site builder with, honestly, the best control panel out there. Stop by a day to try a free demo out, and you'll see how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling, Sting is set to take on the returning Ric Flair. Again?
You know what, though? These two have always had really great matches together. They are WCW.
That was the last match that was out there, too.
That was the last match. It was one of the first matches, too.
Yep.
These two are WCW, plain and simple. But they're having this thing, you know, Sting is saying that if he loses, he'll retire. But if he wins, he's going to get Hogan in a match, which will be at Bound for Glory. We're almost positive. I don't even know if that was said or not, but they're going to have this match at Bound for Glory because that's their WrestleMania, you know?
Exactly. And so it looks like definitely Sting's going to beat Ric Flair, which I don't understand. And then they're going to have Hogan versus Sting at the Bound for Glory. So they're going to put out a good pay-per-view here in the next few months. Mm-hmm. So Austin Aries is now the new number one contender for the X Division title. I thought he was going to get it anyways, but apparently he had to win a match to do so.
It was good, too. It was a gauntlet match. Mm-hmm. It was actually kind of cool. I like it. I actually kind of like the thing they're doing with Austin Aries. And I really like the fact that the X Division is getting some love. I really do. I think that the main thing here is that you want to have certain groups going for certain titles. And so you have Group A and you focus this story on them. And you do, it's a soap opera. It's not hard to do. You focus this and then you have this title and this group is going for this title. And then you have this title and that's what you do, mm-hmm. you know? And so they're actually doing this kind of well. They're doing it right, you know? So give them credit where credit's due.
Yeah, for a change, they're definitely doing this part right at least. So AJ Styles beats the RVD by DQ because Jerry Lynn decided to interfere because of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure. I mean, I know this has to do with Bound for Glory because there's no other reason why, because AJ got points because of it. RVD lost points.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and they're going to do Jerry Lynn versus RVD. They did it at the Destination X and they're going to do it again at Bound for Glory, but they're having a build up to it this time.
Right.
The problem with Destination X was that there were some matches, just like at Hardcore Justice last year, there was no basis for them. There was no reason for these people to be wrestling. None.
Correct.
So right now they're doing this big storyline to surround it. So I like it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it too. I like it. I'm waiting to see where they go from here now. Just can't wait to see what's going to happen. So Angle and Chrisman, Angle and Chrisman. You know, I can't speak. Who is this?
Angle and Crimson. Crimson.
Oh.
They have a war of words, which actually got really heated. And I got to say, first of all, Angle is the best in the business at what he does.
Yes.
By far. Angle is like, he is Shawn Michaels, mm-hmm. like, you know, of this era now. Except he's actually better on the mic, I think. He makes you feel like it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. And, you know, his thing with Crimson, it actually felt really good. I felt like I was watching a TV show where, you know, these two people are going to have this battle. I actually liked it.
Yeah, I was very shocked about how good it is. And yes, Kurt Angle is one of the best on the mic. I think he was like superstar like number 20 on the top 25 of the last decade. And that WWE even gave him love for that, which is really weird. But it's true. He is one of the best on the mic. His mic skills are just great. And the fact that with Crimson, he's actually doing something with him, it makes Crimson look better, too, I think.
Absolutely.
And then we have the weirdest thing that happened on the show. Mexican America, they're now the new tag champs. Yeah. What was the point of that?
Is this necessary?
No.
What was it?
Why did they win at the pay-per-view? I mean, at least they haven't won at the pay-per-view, not on a TV show. It's like having someone win the IC title on a TV show for free right before the pay-per-view. Oh, wait, WWE did that too.
Yeah.
So basically, TNA did something similar, just a kind of, what?
And on a tape show too, which is, you know, that's so smart to do. You want to do it when you tape it 2 weeks in advance because, you know, no one's ever going to read about this online before mm-hmm. the show comes out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's unfortunate because I know they're trying to break up beer money, which I think is a bad move, but it happens.
Hey, it looks like they're going to come to WWE now.
Yeah, right. They may.
Oh, by the way, just to let you know, before we get off Impact Wrestling, Velvet Sky announced that she's going to be back next week. Just to let you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, since all of a sudden you're like, what happened to her?
Well, what happened was, for those of you listening to the show, we actually had a campaign going to Velvet Sky to ask her. And so, like, she got tens of one tweet from us asking her when she was going to be back. That's the power of off the mark.
Yeah, right? That's all us, too. And plus, you know, well, we'll just leave it at that. So, anyways, we don't have a weekly topic this week because the show is running really, really long. So, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the tour, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank A6 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.